Hello, everybody. It is Suzanne back with another energy update. And I am really excited to share this actual client session. Again, I get permission on an anonymous basis to share so that we can all learn from one another. And this particular gentleman that came to see me is, I love this guy. He is probably, I don't know, in his maybe late 30s, early 40s, if that. Recently had the death of a very, very, very close friend happen. And it was super interesting for me because as an individual, we also within that same week or so had experienced a death within our extended family, meaning I have four kids and my oldest had a friend that basically we helped raise for a couple good years, and he was killed on a four-wheeler during the weekend. And it was really weird for me to actually experience something that close because we did spend so much time with him for so many years. And it was like almost losing not my own child, but pretty darn close. And right on the heels of that came this particular client sharing how difficult it is for him to have lost his very best friend. Death is hard. I am not here to make my beliefs or my truths be yours, so take whatever resonates during this. But, you know, I do a lot of death work. I do a lot of hospice work. I do a lot of death and dying crossing work, etc. I do have different beliefs. Being a mortician's daughter, I've been around death my whole life. So it was really cool to talk to this particular guy about this because he also, for whatever personal reason, has a really cool open perspective on death. Not that that makes it any easier when we lose somebody we love, because he was really kind of reeling and still hurting and still dealing and still trying to understand what was going on from losing his very good friend. This particular dude is very physical in terms of does a lot of actually working out, lots of practices like Qigong, lots of metaphysical practices that combine with physical 3D kind of like workout things, marathons, etc., on and on. Very, very into his physical body. And I think what is super interesting about this particular session is because he had just gone through that death, his actual archetype or what he holds kind of like a pattern of how his mental, emotional, physical state kind of represents itself and brings itself to the world is very much about a warrior, very much about the, you know, I have to push myself to win. I have to be that one that takes care of everybody. I have to be that one who shows up in this way and makes it to the top, etc. And I'm not saying that's right or wrong. We all have certain archetypes that we kind of on a subconscious and or conscious basis will align our reality with. And archetypes can be very, very interesting because they can be very productive and they can be very destructive. And I think what's so unique about this particular session and why I wanted to share it with you is because this guy is such an archetype of the warrior. I'm going to take care of everybody. I'm going to win. I have to push myself. I got to do with this physical body. And then bam, he loses this very dear friend to a physical disease where he watched this person's actual physicality deteriorate and eventually die. And that puts your head into a bit of a tailspin. And you do indeed have a different kind of outlook on life when you are dealing with that. And on the heels of this death, because it's only been a bit, it really rocks your 3D world. And what he is starting to find is that this archetypal warrior have to win thing is being pushed even to the max. It's a subconscious thing, but it comes out consciously. This particular gentleman also was born or has, I don't know who was born with, but currently does, suffer with some literal real life manifested eye issues in terms of an actual eye disorder and or disease. And so he can still see, but very limited to some extent. So it's very even more interesting that he pushes and pushes and pushes his physicality to prove to not only himself, but to others that he is valid. And, you know, we had a lot of talks about this during his actual session before we did the energy work in terms of, you know, why do we push ourselves so hard through these archetypes? Why, where does that drive come from? Now, that said, I think that it's awesome that you want to help others. I think that it's super cool that you want to keep yourself in great shape and look good. I think that that's all really wonderful. However, if you're doing it from the perspective of I get to because I'm choosing to and I'm enjoying it versus this underlying program of I have to, and that's what we talked a lot about, because his core beliefs, because of his degenerative disease, his core beliefs were already tipped in that direction of I have to prove something. And now with this death of his friend, it's very interesting because he really was so cool and open and admitting that he felt like he needed to be the warrior and the savior for his really best friend's family. And this is, I think, oftentimes a very natural thing that we do. We step in. And sometimes we're asked to step in. And sometimes we just step in. And so, again, take what resonates, because my truth doesn't have to be your truth. I just try to put things out from an energetic standpoint, and kind of sometimes that feels like that removes the empathy or the compassion from things, but truly it doesn't, in terms of from an energy standpoint. We need to understand people get to. This is a hard concept. People get to die. People get to have a death in their family. People get to lose their spouse. And that sounds like a really hard verbiage, because I get to lose my spouse. That sounds horrible. But the reality is what that means is that from a soul standpoint, from an energetic higher self standpoint, there's reasons that things happen in our life the way that they do, when they do, how they do. And we have contracts with those in our lives that leave and or are there and or how these things play out. They're contractual from a higher version of ourselves. And if we start to look at all of our lives, especially including the scenario of death, if we start to look at this from a higher perspective, it can kind of give us a bigger vantage point on freedom. And this goes all the way across the board in this particular story. When we start to understand, part of my client understood that his best friend did get to die. There was a piece of him that literally understood the concept of, yep, he really gets to die. Not that we like it, because we're going to be pissed off or angry or sad because that meat body is not here with me. But this particular client did honor the fact that his friend did get to die, which I thought was super cool. That's even half of the battle, if not more. The part that he wasn't necessarily understanding is that the family also gets to be able to navigate their lives with that person gone. And I'm not saying that we don't go in and support and help and you know, be there. That's not what I'm saying. So please take this the way it's meant to be. What we want to do is we want to offer that with no conditions attached. We want to be there with no conditions attached. No conditions is the part that is important. The no conditions means I'm going to offer, you know, support, love, service to his wife and his children, but I'm not going to conditionalize it on terms of I'm making a difference in their life, or I'm there because I have to be there, or I need to, or I should be there, or I'm waiting to see if what I did really made a difference in the long run. And on it goes, because those cords that are conditionalized on that love factor or that support factor or that being there factor are not behooving anybody, and especially yourself. And most oftentimes, we do not understand this from a conscious level. And that's, again, why I'm trying to do more of these energy updates, so that people start to understand, energetically speaking, we as human beings are running a lot of our actual programming from a subconscious basis, from belief systems and core values and societal values that we aren't even aware of. And the whole point on doing these, you know, webcasts and podcasts and teachings and trainings that I do as a practitioner is to help people to understand. Energetically speaking, we need to be responsible and take personal responsibility before collective in terms of how and why I'm doing things. And is that valid? And is that honest? And is that integral? And a lot of times we don't even be aware of the fact that we're doing what we're doing. So hopefully these are helping kind of shed some light and different perspective. And again, if it resonates, great. And if it doesn't, toss it out. But when we are doing to service to others, that's a super awesome, wonderful, great thing to be there. But it's important for you to understand you're choosing to be there because it is a choice with no condition attached. I have to, I need to, I can't, I should is a fear fuel of depletion of energy in the long run, and eventually starts to create a resentment within all kinds of different packages. So what we want to remember at all times is that I get to come first, even before service to others. And again, this is a selfish way of looking at energy, and that's a hard word for most people because we're not trained or grown up with belief systems that make selfish be a very good thing. When we're talking about the word selfish, that means in terms of my energy, my auric field, my fuel. I need to look at how do I fuel my own individualized container in terms of integral love for self first before I can bring myself to the table and or into someone else's narrative in terms of supporting, cheerleading, being there, making change, etc. So most of us work the other way around. I'm going to be the wherewithal and end it all for everybody else because that's my validation system. That is the negative way of fueling because it's never going to be good enough because I'm going to have to get validated again and again and again by something or someone else. And this is what we do in not only relationships, but we do it in jobs, we do it in finances, we do it in things, we do it in materialism. It's the empty container of self-value, fulfillment, and validation from outside of self. What one wants to do is look inward and say, I am that valuable to myself and to others because I'm the one in charge of filling that tank, and I do come first in terms of filling that tank before I go and approach another to give additional help and support and love to. So it's the difference between being a human being and a human doing. And most all of us walking around in these meat sacks of 3D are doing machines because that's the way we've created our reality. And hopefully with information like this, it's time to change that. I think archetypes are very interesting. I think that being a archetype of the warrior can have some super positive aspects. I think that that warrior and being that one and pushing our body in terms of health and wellness and you know, having a great, you know, hard, firm body to be able to move through life is awesome. The thing that happens, however, is we get our ass kicked when we lose somebody because we do face mortality. And God forbid if we lose somebody super close to us, whether that be our best friend, our child, our parent, whatever, our sibling. When we lose somebody really close to us, or even maybe not so close to us, it puts mortality into perspective. When we lost my child's really good friend a couple weeks back, that put perspective and reality to the fact that I may lose one of my children. It was ass-kicking that I was even not prepared for, even though I do all of this work. I think that it was very interesting to allow yourself to feel the depth of that fear and then move through that fear. And I think this is part of the problem for most human beings. First and foremost, most all of us don't feel our feel. First and foremost, most all of us don't like to feel or think or even conceptualize anything to do with death because our death culture is so effed up in terms of how we look at this stuff. And that needs to change. And that's part of the reason why I'm doing some of these things. It's important for us to know that everybody's going to die. We get to leave these meat bodies when it's time to. But when it comes close to home, it will rock you to your core. And like I said, even though I do all of this work, I got my butt kicked when that situation happened close to us, as did this client with his friend. Mortality, when it stares you straight in the face, whether it's your own or maybe one of your children's, is like something that is, in my opinion, needed to be examined and felt and sat with. And however you choose to sit with that is your choice, or if you choose to not at all. If you don't choose to sit with it at all, when indeed it does happen, it will be a different outcome versus those that sit with it. Sitting with it simply means allowing your meat and bone body, your emotional body, your mental body, and your spiritual body to actually grieve this actual outcome in any way it chooses to, and play with it even further, meaning, wow, what would it feel like if I lost my kid? What would it feel like if I lost this person? And let that kind of play out so that those cords of energy can kind of move through your creational reality and examine things. I think this is so incredibly difficult, but yet so incredibly healthy. Because if our creational reality, our consciousness container, can already examine the potentialities of something, not that it's happening per se, or if it happened and it might happen again, for example, if we can maneuver through all of those holographic realities and potentialities, the actual container of consciousness makes it not so foreign, so that when indeed it happens, or if it happens again, it is not necessarily the kick in the ass that it could have been if I never allow my creational reality to look at that potentiality. That's a lot of words, so I hope you followed all of that. Meaning, if we can kind of examine what that feels like, if we can kind of introduce that narrative, if we can kind of let that sit as our reality, and then we can release it, and we can let it go, and we can open to the fact that, well, you know, divine timing, that person will choose when they leave this earth plane. It may be today, it may have been yesterday, it may be 3 weeks from now, it may be 5 years from now, maybe whenever. If we can release after the fact and let divine timing take its course, we don't have to hang on to worry, then when those things do come back into our consciousness container or our holographic reality, they're not so foreign. They are something that we are aware of vibrationally speaking. And, you know, we don't think of our experiences and our life and everything that we do as vibrational experiences. And my own take is that we should, because, again, obviously it's because I do this for a living. I work in creational reality for a living. And I think it's important for us to understand that this is a really great way to work with the body. This is a really awesome, great way to train the actual body. And it's something that nobody really talks about or thinks about because it sort of kind of sounds weird, but in my world, it kind of sounds normal. So when we actually are the warrior and when we do face mortality, it's important for us to know these meat and bone existences are an expression of our God source for a very finite amount of time. And most human beings are scared to get old. Most human beings are scared to lose control, myself included. Most human beings worry about the day that I can't. And what we want to do, possibly instead, is stay present with this moment of I can. Because if I'm putting that energy out to the worry about the day that I can't, or the day that I die, or the day that I do lose somebody, if we're putting all that energy out to a potential that isn't even here yet, it's literally a waste of fuel. It's like a huge gash went into your tank of gasoline and your car parts are just going to go down. This brings in depression. This brings in anxiety. This brings in sickness and disease. It basically kind of destroys the vehicle, the gas line, and the gas tank. So it's important for us to know divine timing always knows what it's doing. My higher self always knows when my checkout point is. And it's my lower 3D self, this egoic self, that needs to honor that if it chooses to. It needs to get a relationship with that so that it can allow that to be the driving factor so that this 3D self doesn't have to put out worry. This is so important for parents or friends or anybody, actually. So many people that I know worry about their kids. I really don't worry that much about my kids. It doesn't make me cooler or better, but I just practice. I practice this skill a lot that we're talking about of letting go, of letting that vibrational frequency be something that I'm aware of, yet I'm not calling it in. Letting my vibrational frequency of loss be real and then letting it go. It's training the actual auric body to be able to know that's a potentiality. I don't need it to be my potentiality right now, but when indeed divine timing brings it forward, it's not going to be a shock to my system. So grief is important. It is important for us to also understand, by the way, that everybody grieves differently. Every single solitary human being will go through the grief process in their own individual way, and every loss that they have will be different because we don't grieve the same. Because we are different, it is different, the energies are different at all times. So please, please do not necessarily make anything have to be your truth that doesn't resonate, and or please, please, please do not allow yourself to be, I don't know, railroaded into how to grieve, because it's just not going to be necessarily the same as somebody else's. Death is something that is inevitable. We die every day, all day, in a million ways. The reason why we fear death most of all is because we fear change. And I think what is super, super important for us is to understand our bodies are changing every day. Our bodies are dying every single day. And at the very same time, our bodies are regenerating every single day. So this whole process can be looked at from a different perspective when we like possibly go into nature and really see how nature itself is such a great metaphor for death and rebirth, death and rebirth, death and rebirth. From, you know, plants to animals to just the kingdom of the elemental kingdom itself. It is everywhere in front of us to be able to find a joy factor, a faith factor, an enlightened factor of how death and rebirth happens. So hopefully, sharing his story today gives you some indications of all of the great things that we can do to learn to change that death culture and navigate life, because we are living as we're dying, because we die as we live. So until next, cosmic hugs to all and take care.